The Book of Habakkuk. We are in Habakkuk chapter 2, and we begin our study today in verse 10. I should say verse 1. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this, complaint. Now, we left off last time. Habakkuk complained to God about the evil in his country. God answered. Habakkuk complained about God's answer. And so here he is expecting a response from God. He questioned God's justice, so he's expecting some sort of a rebuke, I suppose. Verse 2, here's the Lord's answer. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. God tells Habakkuk to write his word to him. Write it down so that it can be circulated and read, not just the word that he has already given, but the word that he is about to give, beginning in verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. God is about to announce the fall of Babylon. He says it's going to happen. Not right away, but it will happen. And it did happen. 66 years after this prophecy was given, it happened. And so God will judge. He will judge the evil in Judah, and he will also judge the evil in Babylon. Hopefully Habakkuk's complaints have been answered. Verse 4. Talking about Babylon, see, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. And what he is saying is that, yes, my people will go through some rough times by the hand of Babylon, but Babylon will be destroyed. In the meantime, God's people are told to be patient and live by faith. Live by faith. Keep living for God and trust the Lord to take care of business. Verse 5, indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like the earth is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captives all the peoples. The Babylonians were greedy. They were always looking for new countries to conquer and new slaves to subdue. They were never satisfied with what they had. Verse 6, will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? And so Judah will try to tell Babylon that they're not going to get away with their expansionism. But of course they'll be too arrogant to believe that, and they will carry on. Verse 7, will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Someday Babylon will experience the bad that they inflicted on others. 8. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. God told Noah, whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Sooner or later, justice catches up to people if they don't find mercy from God before that. Verse 9, woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of ruin. Babylon sought to make themselves strong by using unrighteous and wicked methods. They were oppressive. They took what did not belong to them. That sort of thing always ends in failure. Verse 10, you have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The Babylonians' long-term plan was to destroy many nations. That was their goal, and God knew that, and God wouldn't let them get away with it. They're not going to get away with such an evil plan. God will not allow it. Their sin will cause them to forfeit their life. 11. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. The stones and the beams of Babylon's buildings were purchased with the wealth taken from other nations, and therefore those beams and those stones stand as witnesses against them in God's courtroom, witnesses of their oppression and their expansionism. They will testify concerning the guilt of Babylon. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Babylon was characterized by injustice. God is condemning them for that here. Verse 13, has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? And the Babylonians will find that out. They were unfair, so all of their work, all the work that they have done, will go up in flames. They will labor, but not enjoy the fruits of their labor. 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God is telling the world ahead of time how he's going to destroy mighty Babylon so that when it happens, he will get the honor that he deserves. Any god who can take down mighty Babylon is God. Verse 15. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. And that is, in a sense, what Babylon did. They conquered and stripped their neighbors of all their wealth, like one who would get somebody else drunk in order to take advantage of them. 16. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. God will do to Babylon the evil that she has done to others. Verse 17. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood, and you have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. The Babylonians even went as far as to strip the environments. They destroyed the environments in the countries that they defeated, as well as the people. They stripped Lebanon of her famous cedars and brought them back to Babylon to build their buildings. And they slaughtered animals in the name of sport. Just, you know, no concern for righteousness at any level. 18. Of what value is an idol, since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Yeah, it doesn't take a real genius to figure out that you have to make an idol out of a chunk of wood. If you've got to make an idol out of a chunk of wood, it's not a very good god. But a sinful soul is a confused soul. The Babylonians believed it, and many others did as well. Verse 19, woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. No one in their right mind will carve an image out of a chunk of wood and then ask it for help. What in the world? What? Does anybody else see the insanity in something like that? I hope so. But it just goes to show that when a soul is given over to sin, it affects their ability to reason as well. Their thinking gets all confused because there's a connection between the soul and the spirit. 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Instead of looking to gods which are no gods, people should be silent before the God of the universe. In other words, recognize God's majesty and his authority and be silent before him in humble submission. And that is what God deserves, and that is what a wise person will do. And we'll pick it up in chapter 3 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.